Except that's somewhere else.
Separate, yeah.
You must be on it the day not, was it?
In school,
in your household.
I couldn't find a sitter. Only in the back of every shop, and I find my driveway. One set of morale in the shoe.
Oh yeah? Where's the shoe?
In the trash.
Ah, in front.
Morale shoe.
You go in the attic?
There is no attic.
No?
So there is.
Close the door.
It's a total myth.
Ah, it's a myth?
There is no attic. Round the back, there's a person, there's a ladder you got up on the wall.
Yeah.
There's a room there. I spoke to the woman who went into that room, there's nothing there.
What do you mean there's nothing?
Dust. Lots of dust there, it's just dust. There's no golem, there's no foreign, there's no famous. Hidden under the famous is a golem. God,
no, it's all a myth.
Golem,
total myth.
I don't believe there's a golem.
Definitely.
Yeah?
Why do you say that?
There's a tape by Reisman to prove that there wasn't a golem. It was based on Sherlock Holmes. It was blatant mistake in the writing. The whole thing's a forgery that was a golem. But all the golem know about the golem. There's a big statue there of the Maharaj and the golem. And in the shops, you can find beauty free shops, you can find the golem there.
No way!
There was a morale who made the golem.
Who's the morale?
The morale was another morale, about 70 years before morale was missed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he made it. Morale is Meno Harav Rav Levi. Meno Rav Levi. Or Lao, depends what you want. It's fascinating, absolutely.
There was a golem,
not very much morale made it.
They're beautiful too.
Why? You couldn't?
Sorry, there's no beautiful more beautiful city in Europe.
Really?
No more beautiful city in Europe. What's that? The architecture there and
have you ever been to Manchester? Have you been to the Arne?
Yeah. Which is the morale shul? The old one? The old one?
They have their extender there, the extender that he used.
Really?
Wow. And the Omer there is very, very special.
I was there, first time,
just came on the way back.
Oh, on the way back now? You've
been
there.
The big shul, right?
How long were you there for?
The Meisel shul. There's the Klauser shul.
How long were you there for?
I was there for a day and a half.
Is that enough time to see?
Yeah. I mean, you can't see everything. They have the most amazing things. Got one more minute. And the Charles Bridge. The bridge with all the different apostles and unbelievable. The statues there. And they have the Yovel. Yeah. Yoski there on the cross. And it says in it, Kodosh Hashem Tzavotos. In Hebrew letters. Gold embossed Hebrew letters. What happened there? There was a Jew who sat on it. And for his punishment, he had to pay for the Kodosh Hashem Tzavotos in Russian Akedah to be written on it, although no other Jews should sit on it. And they had their moments in gold writing, Yoski, the same letters, because amazing thing. I mean, the Jews are so integrated into Prague that even on the coat of arms, they have Mogen David. On the coat of arms, on the flag of Prague, they have a four flags on each side, and on the flag, like a half a Mogen David, but a proper Mogen David there. No, about 3,000 Jews. And it's very flat, it's protected. It's like it's a museum of books.
Yeah.
But the place.
Think of food there, restaurants?
Yeah, one restaurant, very expensive.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I have a mezuzah gemach, so I'm a little bit involved in mezuzah. So I went to Art Meshul and I saw there was no mezuzah on the mezuzah was stolen from the shul.
Sure.
So the inside of the shul doesn't. If you don't eat and sleep in it, but the outside of the shul does. I mean, if you're going from the outside of the shul, then where you're eating in it, it's not good for the shul properly. So the mezuzah then was stolen. So I donated the mezuzah there, and it was like, you know, it was very. Special that Two of them are out. Okay, do you want to close the door?
You put it up. Two of them are out,
then it was a business. No, actually, you had to order it from April 12, so it's coming this week sometime.
That's
why you're
asking me about.
What,
community?
What's that?
That's
why
you're asking me about.
Yeah. But you're saying the community, though, is so weak that they don't have a sofa to. Nah, nothing. Nah, it's been for minions.
Chabad,
that's the problem. Chabad. No, the Chabad basically closed down the Alt Moshul. They had minion and they're going the whole time. And the Chabad wants to take it over, the Alt Moshul, put in their own rabbi then everything. So the community refused. So listen, the community is a shul, there's 800 years old, now the Chabad's taking it over.
Mm.
So the big politics, so they stopped having minion there during the week.
Mm.
Only have minion there during on Shabbos now. So it's very, very sad. So there's a Chabad guy who wants me to come to minion. And they put on a Mr. Minion there in the Alt Moshul. Wants me to get a minion there later on in Chabad. So I'm not joining the minion. So I'm personally nifka from it. The shul's been going on for 800 years being minionic. Now this stuff, politics, there's no minion in the shul. I'm very sure it's not there, such a minion. No, it's not Mr. Machlokes. It's terrible. It's really, really. Very, very, very upsetting. Very upsetting.
Hmm.
Anyway, okay, good. Bye, to let's go. Vayetze Yaakov mi ba'er sova v'yelech harono. So Rashi really asked one of the most very, very straightforward and famous questions. Rashi asked Vayetze lo yehoi yitzorech lichtoiv ele v'yelech Yaakov harono. It wasn't necessary to say only that Yaakov went to Haron. Why does it say Vayetze Yaakov mi ba'er sova v'yelech harono? It says Rashi v'lome hizki yitziyotoi. Why does it mention the fact that Yaakov Avinu left Be'er Shava? Elo magid to teach us she tias tzadik min hamokim oisereishim. The fact that a tzadik leaves a place, it makes an effect on the place. Shuzman sa tzadik be'er, when the time that tzadik is in a city, hu hoido, he is a beauty, hu ziva, hu hodro. In other words, he is the glory of the town. Yotzum is from the time he leaves pono hoido, pono ziva, pono hodro. Right? V'chei, v'teitzim in hamokoyim, so too when it says apostles, when he left the place to Omer Benormi v'Rus, it also says v'teitzim they left. Which means Rashi asks, why does it say v'yeitzim Yaakov v'eshav v'yelech Haron? Does it say Yaakov went to Haron? Because Rashi, v'yeitzim Yaakov v'eshav means that the fact that Yaakov Avinu left Be'er Shava was a terrible tragedy for Be'er Shava. It was something that absolutely ruined the whole atmosphere of Be'er Shava. And that's why it says the Yaakov Be'er Shava, there's actually an event happened to Be'er Shava. The fact that Yaakov went to Haran was important for us to know. But the fact that he left Be'er Shava, the effect that it left was actually something that was palatable, something they can actually feel. That's why it's something that happened to Be'er Shava, that's why it's important to say the Yaakov Be'er Shava. So the Bali Musa asked that if that's the case, if that limud of Pono Ziva, Pono Hoida, Pono Ziva is such an important limud, why did the Pasuk wait until here by Yaakov Avinu to teach us this lesson? It says many times that Avram Avinu left. Yeah, Avinu, it should say he left Haran and then he went to Eretz Yisrael. Vayetzi Avram the Haran, vayelech the Eretz Kanan, etc., etc. It says by Yitzchak as well. Yitzchak Avinu went from place to place. Yitzchak Avinu went from Eretz Yisrael from one place to another. Last week, etc. Then from Gerar, where did he go to?
To Mitzrayim, to Gerar, no?
No, he wasn't in Mitzrayim. He wanted to go to Mitzrayim, Hashem didn't let him go because he was over to Mimah. But it says he went from place to place. Again, it should say, Vayetzei Yitzchak from this place, Vayelech to that place. Why does it by Yaakov Avinu does it say, Vayetzei Yaakov Meshav Vayelech Harana? So, I feel very for the Bala Musa to say that this. Something very, very nice. They say, that Avram Avinu was a world figure. Avram Avinu was a revolutionary. When he went and he left his city, wherever he was, he left and he came to another place, there's no chiddush that at the time he left, it left a mark. There's no chiddush, obviously. The Avram Avinu, the big kiruv, the massive kiruv professional, you know, suddenly closes up his branch, moves somewhere else, obviously the place is affected. I'm sure the shurim stops. I'm sure the hospitality stops. Obviously, I mean, it must have been in the morning's papers. Avram Avinu, the world's first monotheist. Preaching monotheist. Yeah? who appreciated the Kodesh Baruch Hu and left the city obviously leaves a mark. Yitzhak Avinu as well. Yitzhak Avinu is a wealthy man. He's very involved in the world politics. He's very involved in with Malachim, with kings. He's a wealthy man involved in the charitable and community activity as well. If Yitzhak left as well, it's very simple to understand that Yitzhak left a mark. So who was Yaakov? Who was Yaakov Avinu? Who was he already? Yaakov Avinu was Ish Tom Yosef Aholim. Yaakov Avinu was a regular yeshiva bacher. He wasn't involved in kiruv. He wasn't involved in chesed. He wasn't involved in politics. He wasn't involved in anything. He's an Ish Tom Yosef Aholim. So this stage in time, Yaakov Avinu was sitting and learning in yeshiva. The Yaakov Eshava, he was learning, he's an Ish Tom Yosef Aholim. He's all he's doing, he was learning the whole time. And therefore, what effect could we feel when Yeshiva Bacher leaves town? Big deal. He's got no branch, he's not giving shurim. He's sitting there learning by himself in the back of a basement medrash from Ezra's Noshim somewhere with a Gemara. That's all he's doing. Therefore, what effect does it have for us? Why is that so important? Says the prophet, don't make that mistake. Of course, when Avraham left, it made an effect. Of course, when Yitzchak left, it made an effect. But you should know that when Yaakov Avinu left as well, although you can't appreciate it, though you couldn't see it on a day-to-day level around town, but when a tzaddik closes Gemara, when Yeshiva Bacher closes Gemara and leaves town, it makes an effect. The whole town is different. The whole atmosphere is different. The whole chus of the place is different. And that's why Dafka Yaakov Avinu, which says that Yaakov Avinu left and he went to Choron, although he couldn't see it, although he couldn't feel it, Be'er Shava was a different place. It was not the same as it was beforehand. The world that we live in is a world where we like to see results. We like to see, you know, I was in a concert, national, I've got like classical music very, very much. So last Wednesday night, I was waiting, had a few hours between, I checked out the hotel in Prague, and I had a few hours between that and going to the airport. So you walk around Prague, freezing cold, it was -1. So there was a very, very nice concert in the famous in the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra there, in just next to Powder, the Powder Tower. Beautiful place, absolutely stunning. And they have I managed to get a cheap ticket, and gave me all the seat right in the front because I'm Jewish and this and that, and like Jews. I sat right in the front there, and I was watching the conductor. I was watching the conductor, and it was an 18 piece string concerto, playing Mozart and Beethoven and it's unbelievably beautiful. And there was one soloist, very well known woman there, very, very good, fantastic. And I think to myself, if I'll be in this concert, if I'll be there, which would I like to be? Which part of the string concerto would I like to be? So I was watching each one, the conductor. Now the conductor, every move of his hand, unbelievable fellow, every move of his hand. And he goes at this, and he goes at that, and he moves, and this starts going now, then it starts going quieter. So it was like from his fingers the music was coming. Yeah, and then you have the guy at the back with a massive cello. The stand-up cello, and he does little move. It's like a drum, and the richness of it. Then you get a little guy at the back. He's got a squeaky little violin. So I think to myself, which part would I like to be? You know, where would I like to be in that? And I realized that although there's some parts which are much more popular, and obviously there's certain people getting much more money being in that part, obviously the soloist and the conductor gets not more than the guy who's doing the background music. There's no triangle there. No triangle there. Now, that's also a major part of it. Once every 14 hours you get a ding.
I thought I was in my school.
I was a saxophonist. The answer is, why did it have 16 people there? Because each one of the 16 people is important. And therefore, obviously, if they could get away with not paying one of the 16 people, they wouldn't have them there. They're paying each one a very nice amount of money to be there, and they've practiced, and they have to make it perfect, and it's unbelievable. You see all the things going up and down exactly at the same time. The idea is that every single one of those people was important. And without one of them, the concert would not have been the same. Which one do you like to be? The philanthropist wants to be popular, wants to be people think you're clever. That's not the point. The point is that every chelik of the overall picture is important. Avada, kal v'chomer ben b'nei kal v'chomer. My mind started wandering. In a world where it's built on ruchnius, Ruchaim V'lodzim says that every second that the world has Torah, the world exists. And if chafish on the world, for one second, will not have Torah, the whole world will go back to Torah v'voiv. We'll go back to nothingness. So he says, not only does that mean that the existence of the world applies on that, but what it does mean is that the how much Torah is in the world, that's how much Sefer there is in the world. And that's what he says, if a man in Vienna, if a woman in Vienna is having trouble giving birth, and a Shiva Bach in Valorum closes the Gemara early, that woman in Vienna could die during childbirth because of that Yeshiva Bach closing his Gemara early. Which means when you come to Shemaim, or vice versa, when you come to Shemaim, suddenly you see scenarios that you don't recognize. That's because of you, and that's because of you. And don't realize that Lamaisa, the effect that we have here, learning in a base of Medrash, we don't realize that extra little bit of Asmada, the extra bit of Chesed, that few more minutes of learning, that few more minutes of Tahara, is mamish making effect worldwide. And that's Pshava Yitziyatna Be'eshava. We must get out of our minds this feeling of, unless we're actually doing something big, unless we're actually changing the world, unless our names are up there in big billboards, in big neon signs, we're nothing. It's not. Chas v'sholom. The fact that we're learning, we're keeping the world going. Mom is keeping the world going. And we don't have to be out there, in making noise. Yaakov Vino sitting Yoshitom, Ishtom Yoshiv Aholim, and still, as Pon Aziv Apon
Ahoida. Does it make an effect like where you're learning, it affects more than in other places in the world?
That's what the Rashi says.
Because that's what it seems
like. Yeah, that's what Rashi says. Rashi says the place itself, yeah, Avada has more.
The place has more Kedusha from your learning.
Sure, it has an effect on the place. Yeah. Always, you get this, when I go fundraising, you get people asking me, so when is he going to start, you know, really doing something? Yeah, he's learning in Yeshiva now, so when is he actually going to start doing something? So Leib Gurevitz was once at a chasna, and he had one of his big donors sitting opposite him, and he said, so when do you see the guys and actually start doing something? So he grabbed a bottle of wine in front of him, and he held it in front of him. Don't touch this wine. Why? The Gemara says, if a person says, Mata ibibu rabonon, what do the chachamim do? How do they help us, b'chlal? Yeinom yain nesach. The wine is yain nesach. So if you say, what, you know what, yain nesach means the wine becomes unkosher. So if he says, you know, don't touch my wine. So what are you talking about? You're a parasite, he said back to him. You're living off my bochum Torah. You aren't learning Torah. The world is living because of Torah, and you're living off their Torah. You're not putting Torah back into the world. You're a parasite. We have to know. A certain time one says it, a certain time one doesn't say it. But we have to know that we are giving to the world, which is chus, and the world, and you know, and God has feel. You've got to feel that Baruch Hashem. We've got a tremendous chus to be the ones who are supplying the world with the energy to keep going. The world is that. Let's move on here.
Is the AK source coming the instrument?
I must tell you, I put my glasses off. But okay, if it's a problem with here, then it's probably it's offer. If it's not, then you know. But I was sitting right in the front and put my glasses off. It was terrible. You know, yeah, that was paying goodness knows how much.
Was it a woman?
No, one woman there doing. She was a photo of it. Okay, let's move on here. Yaakov Avinu went to learn in the Shiva of Sein Da'iva. Yaakov Avinu was sent out to go and get married, and he went to the Shiva of Sein Da'iva for 14 years. He sat there and learned the Shiva of Sein Da'iva. Practically, you can understand why he went to Sein Da'iva, because he had to run away from Esau. Yeah? But, sorry? He ran on the way to Lavan. On the way to Lavan, he went to Shiva of Sein Da'iva. The question is, why did he sit in the same Eva for 14 years?
Wouldn't that be the first place that Eva would
like? Very good thought. That's a very good question. Very good question. I mean, if you're hiding there, you know,
the only
Bochum. I mean, how many Pshu Bochum were there? How many Shivas were there? And where does Ita think it's going to be? Where does Ita think it's going to be? Hanging out in playing snooker? I mean, where do you expect that to be?
Because you're on the line,
yeah.
What's that?
You're saying
one thing. Yeah, if you're running away and you actually felt confident there. Very good question. So the mindset, the answer that I either heard or I thought of was that there's a famous story of the Vilna Gaon. The famous story of the Vilna Gaon, that a fella came into town and claimed that he was the husband of an Aguna. There's an Aguna in town. Aguna is a woman whose husband ran away. And for years and years, never, she can't get married, because until she gets a divorce and knows her husband died, she can't get married. And years and years later, a man who looked very similar to her husband came back, and he said, you know, I've been around, I've come back now, and I'm the husband. So they asked many, many different questions, and he answered them perfectly. How old are you? Where do you live? Where do your parents come from? He worked out everything beautifully. But there was something that was uncomfortable. There was a certain kind of a niggly feeling there that he wasn't the husband. There was something, I don't know, it wasn't Masloy Sadil. There wasn't something, it didn't work out. So they went to the Vilna Gaon, and Vilna Gaon says, you know what? Let me deal with it. So bring him to shul Friday night. They brought him to shul Friday night, and he came to shul, and he said, okay, obviously, you know, take back your seat, you're entitled back to your seat, you know, you paid membership for your seat, go back, find your seat, wherever you want, go find your seat, and the davening will meet. This guy panicked. There's a seat looking up front, the back, the right, the left, where's the seat? He panicked. Well, the guy saw him, and he said, throw him out of town. This guy is a charlatan, he's a thief, he's a fraud, throw him out of town. So they said to him, how did he guess that? He said, a person who can come along and impersonate somebody else and pretend as somebody else, it's not shaykh that this person has room in his head for Dovah Shabakusha. It's not shaykh, it's not possible that this person thought of something, things that are Kodesh. A fellow's head doesn't think that way. And therefore, when it comes to how old you are and birthdays, everyone thinks of birthdays and what food you like and how you like your food and where your parents are born. But a person who's such a rasha, a person who's such an evil person, he's not going to think of Dorosh Bakusha, okay, am I going to shul? Where am I going to sit when I go to shul? And that's a fellow's a fraud. Could be that Esau is such a rasha. He's such a rasha that although he wanted to find Yaakov Avinu, that to think that Yaakov Avinu is sitting and learning, but it makes sense. Yaakov Avinu has been doing that all the time. No, but he's run away, not been sitting in yeshiva. Who sits in yeshiva? Come on. He's sitting in yeshiva, he's got an excuse to leave yeshiva now, he's sitting in yeshiva. Like, it never entered his mind for a moment that Yaakov Avinu should possibly be sitting in the yeshiva. Wrong yeshiva, the last place I want to go to is Esau. And that's why it was the safest place to be.
Well, you just said in the first thought, you said to learn that wherever he was, he made an impact. So Esau was so sensitive to the physical. Or whatever, he would have, if he really made an impact, then he would have known where he was, just which area he was in.
Not necessarily to the physical. It can make a difference to the spiritual. Esav was not, we're not called a sensitive person. I mean, his Oiva Gilaroi is Shlichus on Avodah Zarah on the same day. Yeah, this guy was, you know, he stole, you know, he was a womanizer, he was a murderer. He wasn't a sensitive person. You know, and even so, I mean, if you go to where same that Eva was learning, you know, still, come on, it's not Yaakov Avinu who's sitting in yeshiva. What's the thing in yeshiva? It's the last place I want to sit. Yeah, anywhere else but yeshiva. And that's how far difference was between Yaakov and Esau. But the question is, Gary.
Well, could it be that since he was learning Torah all the time?
Also, it was Megan. It saved him, it guarded him, that as well. Yeah. Yeah. Why is he ashamed of Eva? Why couldn't he go back to Avram Avinu? Well, okay, Avram Avinu is mixed up. Why is he ashamed of Eva? What could he learn from ashamed of Eva? More than that, it says later on in the Pasuk, later on, the Yaakov Avinu taught Yosef, ki ben tekunim huloi. The uncle says, Bar Chakim. Bar Chakim means he taught him everything. Because Rashi, he taught him everything he learned from Shem Va'eva. Why exactly Yosef did he teach the learnings of Shem Va'eva? So the idea of Shem Va'eva was that Shem Va'eva were people who lived through secular revolutions. They lived through times of the flood, they lived through times of Bavel. They lived through times of living amongst rough people, living amongst difficult environments. Yaakov Avinu, before he could leave the yeshiva, before he could leave his place, before he closed his Gemara and go and live by a Lavan, he had to go to a finishing school. The finishing school of Shem Da'eva. How to live on the street. How to live with a Lavan Arami. How to live with people like Lavan. How to live with it with a second environment, with people who are negative, people who are late summon. And therefore, that was why Dafka Shem Da'eva, those people who managed to live through that society and still grew through it, and it became great, Yaakov needed them, Dafka them, to learn from them how to live through in the street. Which means again, it's a very important limud. That don't think for a moment that if a person learns in yeshiva X amount of time, he's learning Gemara and he's learning Mishnah Berurah and he's learning Chaimus Havavus, whatever it is, that he's ready to go back to the environment that he came from and everything's going to be fine. He's not going to have any of the Eight Taharos anymore, and nothing's going to tempt him anymore, unless he focuses on how he's going to actually become better in that environment. Actually work through the issues of being in that environment before he actually leaves the yeshiva. It's going to take a very, very short time, unless he's in a good environment there. Unless he's in a very strong environment there, it's going to take a very short time for him to plummet to the depth he was, or even worse than he was before he came to the yeshiva. Because kodagodol mechaveiro yitzra godol hemenu. The more kedusha you have, the more the yitzhahara is. And therefore, it happens often that a person who's not ready to leave the yeshiva yet, and he feels, you know, I've learned X amount of time, I can read, I can do a laning of the Gemara. I can really work for the Gemara. Shkoyach. But when you're working with people who are absolutely the opposite of anything Torah stands for, the immorality, the greed, the making the extra buck on the other person's expense, everything totally against the Torah, then you get sucked in, you get pulled in. And if you need the same Va'eva in order to give him a finishing school, give him a touch that he can actually leave the base medrash properly and not be affected by Lavan. And in fact, he wasn't affected by Lavan. Lavan Gati, Mitarag Mitzvah Shemati, Lavan Mati, Maisav Rom, never learned from his bad ways. And that's why by Yaakovina had to teach Yosef all these things. Because Yaakovina had, unless the Ruach HaKodesh, what's going to happen, but HaKodesh Baruch Hu gave him the inspiration, as it were, to teach Yosef Dafka, who's going to go to Mitzrayim. With all the smuts of Mitzrayim, with all the tumma of Mitzrayim, that Yosef had to learn everything in Shem Va'eva that he should survive. And that's why Dafka Yosef was taught these things, because a person has to learn the survival skills outside in a difficult, difficult world. It's a very difficult world. You already go to the airport. You already fall in a few madregas. Ramatul Salomon used to say, Mashiach of Gates and I is in Lakewood, said even if you read a catalogue, yeah, you have a catalogue. You have, in England, you have the Argos catalogue, right? I'm not talking about seeing the Dvarim Asurim. I'm not talking about Dvarim Asurim. I'm saying Dvarim Asurim, there's no Dvarim Asurim. Possibly just seeing the catalogue and seeing that there are 33 different kinds of MP3 players, yeah? Or plasma screen TVs. And you see these different things and they come into your head. That itself is pulling you away from Torah. That itself is pulling you into the world of Gashmius. That itself, you start thinking, and you know, should I get one digger, should I get 512, what different kinds of specifications, and that itself, but that's taking away from Torah. Torah is, you get what you need for Torah, that's it. But you put your head into it and this and that, how it was looking, how, that itself is something which Mamash, that itself is offer. Again, I'm not saying it's offer, so look at, but itself, it's not Torah. And that's why Yaakov Avinu needs Dafka Shem Va'eva. Yeah.
Can you give us an example of how in yeshiva you're going to prepare yourself before you get back? You're not facing the incredible, although we're going back. So how do you prepare yourself here? You know, think of scenarios.
Hillel Hazokin, remember this Gemara, Hillel Hazokin was in a situation where he became a God Lador. And he said, if I need Khan, Khuloi Khan. So he had tight spot to many people as a timer for him for Gaiva. Now Hillel was the biggest honour. How can he fall in for Gaiva? For Gaiva. So they say that, I forgot the Gemara right, I can't remember, I've heard it bought many years back. He was had some honours, they never realised he was going to be the God Lador. That he wasn't ready for that situation. Which means a person has to prepare himself. Mentally prepare himself and realize his shortfallings when he goes to Chutz Aretz. Let's say a person's shortfall in Chutz Aretz is the fact you have bad friends. Yeah? You're going to get back, you're going to get a friend who's going to phone you up. And this friend, he's not a bad guy, but he's just a fellow who's totally against what you've been learning in yeshiva. I mean, he's a guy, he's a regular secular, you know, London bloke. Yeah, and not bad, just, you know, his language isn't the way it should be, and, you know, he's thinking about beer and football, and so he's going to phone you up. So you have to mentally prepare yourself and say, okay, what's wrong with speaking to him? Or how can I deal with it beforehand? Or when I do get there, how am I going to, if I do have to meet him, what guidelines do I have to have? Is it because, am I going to be pulled in because I don't have enough self-confidence in Yiddishkeit? Fine, let's work on that. Kedoyim, kedoyim, kedoyim. Ten lechoch on the yachtamoid. Yeah.
We said that on Monday when we saw the neighbors, and we see that, you know, there is a way to stop yourself where it's a guy to love, and I live with him and I didn't learn from his ways. But you could also use it on opposite. I heard from someone, I don't even remember who, that really he was giving himself to Fokker.
Yeah.
And then guy to, I live with love, right, and what I didn't learn from his ways, and he was rushing, woke up at 5 in the morning,
yeah,
every day to like see, you know, how many people I had in the film, what was
very
going
good
on. I should have learned from his ways too. I should have like got up also early in the morning to serve a chairman.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You can use the situation.
Yeah, you can propel it around.
They have for
absolutely. 100%. 100%. Yeah, very good. Very good. Lovely horse, yeah.
Was Eitav literally looking for Yaakov for
sure.
14 years?
Sure.
So, we found when Yosef was challenging, you know, all the brothers, all his brothers, and they said, well, you know, they were dividing up the world, but they can destroy it. They're going to destroy it in minutes. Now, Eitav was arguably greater than them in whatever. They could have searched the world at least in 14 years.
You have to say Arya's vault. It was a special Shemira. No, there was. It's Tori is making him absolute. Tori is Tori God. And therefore, he's not allowed. You have to. Yeah, you can have. Yeah, the Brit Gerov went through. The Brit Gerov and the Rav and they went through mummies to the clutches of the Nazis, and nothing happened to them. They're just thinking, Einem Uvabi, Einem Uvabi. So, you have people going through the customs and they have like 18 cartons of stickers, Einem Uvabi, Einem Uvabi. What's that Einem Uvabi? The brain stagum is everything to brain stagum. Don't be such a gun at them. It says what he signals. Anyway, we have a very important principle in the Sedra that is brought out by seemingly lengthy Pesukim. It says later on in Perek Lamed, we have Yaakovinu catching him. You have Yaakovinu catching him, he's catching in a ship. He wants to leave, he's out, he wants to get his sheep. Okay? So Laban says to him, fine. You want Nisi, you get a Nokud, you get a Tolud, you get a Chumbik Sovim, you have a Tolud, anything that's speckled, a spike, whatever it was. Yaakov Avinu did genetic engineering, brilliant genetic engineering, which would have made any farmer very proud, and he managed to get exactly the way he wanted. That's what happened. And it's backwards and it's forwards, and you put this stick in front of him and that stick in front. It worked out mummish gorgeous, right? Exactly the way he wanted it to happen. Then he changed it round, okay, everything started all over again, he got all the special ones, then it's front, whatever it was, exactly the way he wanted it. The Maitre though, you have to see, I mean, he's dealing here with mummish, how many took him over here? Prophet Perek Lamed, from Prophet Chokhe, and he goes all the way to Prophet Mem Gimel. Yeah, it's about how many Pesukim is that? Chokhe to Mem Gimel. About 15 Pesukim dealing with Yaakov's genetic engineering. 15 Pesukim in the Torah. You have to understand when it says in the Torah the halachas of Gittin, yeah, it's two Pesukim. Yeah? Two Pesukim. And that's a homosexual kitchen. Here we have 15 psukim of a genetic engineering. What's the idea behind it? The prophet gives so much space for Yaakov Avinu sticks here. What's so important about that? That's one nice thought. A very nice thought. It says like this. David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu were both chosen to become the manhigim of Klal Yisrael by the way they treated sheep. Moshe Rabbeinu, famous for Moshe Rabbeinu, was running after, looking after the sheep of his father-in-law Yisroi, and eventually he found his sheep and was chasing the sheep, and he ran and ran and ran and ran and ran, and the sheep ran and ran away, and he eventually saw it was thirsty, so he gave it to drink and he put it back on his shoulder, and Akush Baruch Hu said to him, if that's the case, you can be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Same thing happened with David HaMelech. Although his brothers are much more professional, and his brothers are much greater than him, and his brothers are much more impressive than he was, the thought of David HaMelech was nothing, and didn't even bother to show David HaMelech to Shmuel HaNavi, and he said, no, not this one, not this one, and this one, that one over there. and the other famous pasuk in Tehillim that Ma'aspes Yoram Evyoin. I mean, the whole thing, David Melech became great, but he became great by being a simple shepherd. What's the idea behind that? The idea behind that, obviously, is sensitivity. Sensitivity, not necessarily to the big people, it's to the small people. I heard a klal by somebody before I went out to Duchim. He said, if you want to see how nice a person is, don't see how nice they are to you or to important people. See how nice they are to the waiter and to the doorman and the very different lower class people, the people who clean up. That's how you see how great a person is. Everyone's big to the big people. Go and make yourself big. You know, if you rub shoulders with a great guy, so that hopefully you'll be involved in this great guy's fame and glory. And suddenly, your person comes a chosn. Everyone's his best friend. Yeah, why? Because hopefully, when he comes to the chosner, yeah, and he's going to dance with him in the middle, backwards and forwards, everyone's going to be, look at that. Oh, you know, he's so close to the chosner, a wonderful chosner. He must also be a close, wonderful guy. It's sad. A person has to be kind to the little guys, the bus driver, the taxi drivers, not the little people, but you have to understand, the people who necessarily are not people who are going to be inflating the ego tremendously. However, there's nocha mekudah, there's another mekudah over here. Yaakov Avinu was working through over here. Yaakov Avinu was a top mechanech. Yaakov Avinu, as he worked through the end of Parshas Vayechi, he knew exactly where he was holding with each one of his children, in a perfect sync with each one of his children. He had Yehuda, who was a melech. He had Levi, who was a Talmud Chacham, who was a Kohen. He had Yitzchak's women, who were business people, and different types of melech chachamim. You had Don, we had God, we had each one person working on the docks, one person working inside the city, one person on the mountains, one person becoming a day itim, the timekeeper. Each person for their own thing. Yaakov Avinu knew exactly the strengths and weaknesses of every single one of his Talmidim. Every single one. He was a classic case of Chameichu Nara Piridakwe. He judged each Nara, to be Mechanech each person according to their way. Perfect. Yaakov Avinu had to learn, had training through working with sheep. Working with sheep. If I want a sheep to turn out like this, I need to do X, Y, Z to make that sheep work out in this particular form. I have to do stripes to get stripe sheep. I need to get triangles to get triangle sheep. I need to get circles to get circle sheep. It won't help me putting circles for triangle sheep because it's going to turn out to circles. If I want to bring out the best thing from this sheep, it's going to be a circle sheep for a circle sheep or square sheep, wherever it was. Yaakov Avinu, what the prophet was saying over here, was practicing his gewaltige guidance, his unbelievable study of sheep. He was working through it as a sort of a laboratory of getting the perfect genetics of the sheep in order he can learn to build the perfect genetics of the Shavuotim coming from him later. That is what the prophet is telling us over here. That every person has a uniqueness to him. Every person has a wonderful side to him that nobody else has. And the tragedy today of institutions, the tragedy today of chinuch, is that you have 35 or 40 kids to a class. It's tragedy. You squash a kid into the class and they completely crush them. In Japan, they have, in kindergarten already, in parts of Russia as well, but in kindergarten, they see a kid who enjoys building. They see a kid who's always by the blocks. Always by the blocks and building this funny house and that funny house. And they take him from that young age and they put him in a school of architecture. From the age of 6 or 7, he's already moving towards architecture. You have a kid who's always, you know, opening up old radios and poking around. Yeah, they send him to engineering. Yeah? There's a kid who's always stealing stuff. Yeah? He becomes a lawyer, right? excuse me. That's what they do, and that's why Japan is where they are, and it's unbelievably ahead. The problem of institutions is possibly the fact that they're losing the individuality of each person. And that's godless. Rav Aryeh Levin was once in the playground. Rav Aryeh Levin, there's nobody more avid on Aryeh Levin. Rav Aryeh Levin once in the playground, and he saw a Rebbe, and he said, look around, tell me, what do you observe? He said, I observe everyone playing, there's a few children who are on exception. Got Shlomo over there, he's got his hands in his pocket. He's probably dreaming. Got Yankler over there, who's running around like a crazy guy. He's probably, you know, but he's hyperactive. And they got Chaim Tov, they're looking at the clouds. He's probably tired, didn't sleep very well. I was going to get it all wrong. Shlomo over there, he's got his hands in his pockets because he doesn't have a sweater, doesn't have a jumper on. You know why? Because his family is so poor they can't even afford to buy him a jumper. So Chaimka over there, Chaimka over there, he's running around like crazy because the Rebbe just scolded him. The Rebbe just told him off. And he's running around because he got such frustration, he's so upset, he's running around letting off steam. And Shlomo over there, who's looking up the clouds, Nebuch, his father's ill, and the burden of Panos is on his shoulders. And that is why he's looking up to the clouds, and that's why he's worried. That's how you got to observe sheep. That's how you got to observe people. That each person, if a person is you know, he's nervous or he's stiff. It's not just that he's nervous or stiff. There's something doing it to him. You have to see behind the person. That's Yaakov Avinu shifting to put him over here, teaching us the sensitivity of working behind the nekud of each and every individual. Yaakov Avinu, step back a moment. This is this week's tips from the well. Yaakov Avinu gives us a very, very strange image over here that we have to sort of get through to. Brings over here Peretz Chof Ches. Sorry, Peretz Chof Tes. Topic Aleph. Vayitzi Yaakov Raglo, Vayelich out to Bnei Kedem, into Bnei Kedem. Vayav Vihinei Be'er Besode, you see the Be'er in the field, then it's from Shleisha Edrei Kroin, you've got three herds of sheep, Reitzim Aleho, Kimina Be'er Hahu Yaskro Hadorim, from this Be'er, they give to drink the herd, for Evan Gedoyla Pia Be'er, and Evan Gedoyla, one big stone on top of the Be'er. V'ner Shushoma Kol Hadorim, and they would gather there all the herds, V'golu Esau Evan, and they would roll off the stone, Al Pia Be'er, the Hitzku et Hatsoim, and they'd feed the sheep. They see where Esther Evan appear at Be'er and Mekoimo, and then would return the stone to the mouth of the Be'er to its place. Which means, obviously, dealing here with a very large stone. V'yomen ahem Yaakov. Yaakov says him, Achai ma'ayin atem, v'yomen mechorin anachnu. That's by the way. Yaakov is about to give them Musa now. So, you know, when you start giving Musa, you don't start ramming things down a person's throat. You say, nice. V'yomen ahem Yaakov, Achai, my brothers. Ma'ayin atem, where are you from? Yeah, start saying it nicely, and then boom. Okay, and then he said to them, and then he says, we can't roll it off until all they come, and then we'll feed the sheep. Which means dealing here with an impossibly large stone. Is still talking. Rachel comes with the sheep. He sees a shepherd. Kashira Yaakov es Rachel bas Lavan achi imoi vesoin Lavan achi imoi, he sees the sheep. Vigas Yaakov goes up v'yogale to Evan. Boah! This is impressive, right? This is impressive. Yaakov flexes his muscles. He walks over very elegantly. Off it goes. Rolls it off. Kilachaya, like Rashi says, Mamish Mike. He took a person, takes a hair off milk. Mamish rolled it off. Garnish. Rachel's impressed. The Yaakov and Rachel, the Yitzchak spread over Yates, and gives to Rachel his head over heels. There they have all the big, tough farmers, the shepherds there. Yeah, and she has the yeshiva bracha. Not only can he learn, but he's tough too. He's, look at his muscle, he's a big, muscly guy. And he can come along, finish Rachel's head over heels, takes him back home and they get married. Hollywood, right? Yeah, the kiss of the thing, unbelievable. Mama's Hollywood. Mama's, she has the geek. Yeah, this intellectual geek has not only been fantastically successful, he becomes, you know, he becomes the top Mr. Choron himself.
How old was she?
No, she was older.
I'm not sure exactly how old, don't say how old she was.
So, what's that here? That is, it's mummish. That's Hollywood. Yeah, that's not Torah. Torah is completely different. The half the alpha is Havdoros. Yaakov Avinu was standing against these shepherds. Now, Torah, you know, Jews known for many things. There's once a book written about Jewish athletes, it's one page long. Yeah? It's pathetic, you know, Jews, you find a boxer here and a boxer there, showing. Yeah, but you don't, Jews aren't necessarily the most successful in sports. They aren't. Yeah, Jews are only good at success of buying the buying the team. They're very good at buying teams, you know, you get, what's his name, Alan Sugar bought the team, you get this guy from Chelsea, what's it called? Glazer of Chelsea bought the team, you get from us. Yeah, they buy teams, because they're good at making money, but they're not good at sports. Yeah? Even look at the Maccabi Tel Aviv basketball team. No. Most of them are 8 foot spouters.
Yeah?
Yeah, don't look very Jewish. They don't have the Jewish nose. You know, it's just. It's for the book. You know, this guy called McDonald's from Boston, they brought him over. Come on. Right? So, Yaakov Avinu clearly was not this big, tough. He wasn't. What's that? How come that they needed all these people to roll up the stone and Yaakov Avinu fine self rolled it off? The answer is of Yaakov Naiman. He says, "Vayikashiro Yaakov is Rochel Baslovon." Yaakov saw Rochel Baslovon. He got koyach. The idea behind this is there's a certain limitation a person's muscles, his body can have, but there's no limitation how far a person goes motivation. If a person's motivated, mind over matter, unbelievable how far a person can go. Yaakov Avinu over here had such ava for Rochel. They wanted to give her such chesed to Rochel Imenu. He saw this chinna with her. It wasn't his muscles weren't important anymore. It just, his man doesn't matter. It's just, his motivation was so great he just rolled off the stone. How often do we find this case of a woman picking up a car that falls underneath? There is no stopping motivation. You get people who can learn a whole night through on Thursday night. Mamish, 12 hours they can learn through. From 9 o'clock at night to 9 o'clock in the morning, mamish they're learning. And these people, you know, if you ask them to run, you know, to the Makkah and back, they'll collapse. Or vice versa, you get these people who can run a marathon, yeah, but then, you know, you ask them to sit in front of the Gemara for an hour, they're fast asleep. So ask them whatever you're motivated for, whatever does it for you, that is what it's got. The motivation is the key to success. Motivation is the key to success. And the Yaakov Avinu over here was so motivated, that is why, of course, he was physically inferior to the shepherds. But the motivation makes up for everything. Okay, we've got to stop here.
Oh.
Like
this.
Yaakov Avinu, he forgot himself, L'Chaira, Shutoi, and the Ava of Ruach HaKodesh, he thought, he didn't see, you know, how old is she already? It wasn't Sam Yaakov, whoa! She was, you know, a knockout, and she, Chas Vesholom, he didn't hear his mum, the Bechir HaOvus, the greatest of the Ovus, Yaakov Avinu, yeah? Yeah, he didn't wear a tikka, I'm Shomer. Yeah? Yaakov Avinu, the Gadol HaDor, Mamish. Yeah, the Mamish, the Bechir HaOvus, he obviously saw the Shechina, he obviously saw the Shechina Klal Yisrael to such an extent. And the Ahava, Mamish was Mekakeles Tashura. He loved himself. You know, he's been learning for all this time and he finally finds his facet. Yeah? But that's just that. There must be Maraz who says that the Meshiki over here is Meshomas for kissing, and Avada that's true as well. And not Chassam to say that Apisod that's not MS. Avada it's true as well. But the Pshutay Mikra Pshat is that he the Avo that you had towards Rochel seen the continuation of Klal Yisrael. What through this? That's a yay. Okay, I mean, so much more to say, we'll stop here, there's a chance, and, yeah.
There should be a huge amount of more disasters and more terrible things.